What if it's already happened? Jake demanded, and yes, he was worried about King, but Roland didn't think that was all he was worried about. What if he's dead and his family's not here because the police called them and—
It hasn't happened, Roland said, but that was all of which he was sure.
What do you know, Jake, and why won't you tell me? There was no time to wonder about it now. 8. The man with the blue eyes sounded calm as he spoke to the boy, but he didn't look calm to Irene Tassenbaum, not at all. And those singing voices she'd first noticed outside the East Stoneham General Store had changed. Their song was still sweet, but wasn't there a note of desperation in it now as well? She thought so. A high, pleading quality that made her temples throb.
How can you know that?
The boy called Jake shouted at the man. His father, she assumed.
How can you be so fucking sure?
Instead of answering the kid's question, the one called Roland looked at her. Mrs. Tassenbaum felt the skin of her arms and back break out in goose flesh.
Drive down, Si, may it do you.
She looked doubtfully at the steep slope of the Carolaff's driveway.
If I do, I might not get this bucket of bolts back up.
You'll have to, Roland said.
9. The man cutting the grass was King's bondservant, Roland surmised, or whatever passed for such in this world. He was white-haired under his straw hat, but straight-backed and hale, wearing his years with little effort. When the truck drove down the steep driveway to the house, the man paused with one arm resting on the handle of the mower. When the passenger door opened and the gunslinger got out, he used the switch to turn the mower off. He also removed his hat. Without being exactly aware that he was doing it, Roland thought. Then his eyes registered the gun that hung at Roland's hip and widened enough to make the crow's feet around them disappear.